Let's go.
Me, my guys, we really lie. Lord, forgive me, pay my tithes. Please don't have me reach inside in the center console. Keep the semi when I ride. Let off Henny when I drive. In the city, we gon' slide. Bet I be there pronto.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, man. So shout out to everybody that's tuned in today, man. It's a lovely day in February. You know, Black History, all 365, but in February, we get to act a little extra with it. You know what I'm saying? It's your boy, George Lee, a.k.a. Conscious Lee. Don't forget the lead. You can find me at georgeleespeaks.com. You know, I got it for the draw. I said, I'm going to take high for the cheap. I'm obviously my little mimosa already. But who I'm with, man?
Hey, it's your girl, Toya G, in the building. Definitely identifying with Infinite Blank in the chat. That's why, you know, I got my H2O because other things, other sources. But I'm happy to be with y'all. Feeling good, feeling great. It's Black History Month, and I'm just happy to be here with y'all. It's one of those I could complain, but I won't type days. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here. It's another Monday night in the building with my peoples.
I got my people here.
Yes, and I am the political plug. Enjoying my Japanese whiskey for the evening. You know, usually I'll be rocking with the Jameson, but I'm rocking with the Japanese tonight. I'm ready to get it in. I love talking about the Black Panthers. Anytime I got an opportunity to talk about the Black Panthers, I'm going to do it. So we in here.
Hey, everybody on IG, man, if you're trying to get in this conversation about the Black Panthers in terms of Messiah and the Black Judas, so we're talking about also climate change and environmental racism, y'all meet us over at YouTube right now, and shout out to everybody on YouTube and Facebook.
Yep.
Before we even jump into the Snapchat, which I'm about to bring to y'all, want to make sure we plug our Chop Up Black History Month show. It's next, and it's next Monday, which is the last Monday of this month. So you don't want to miss it. We have our Black History Month Awards. It's been a long year, a lot of interesting things. And we always just try to make sure we give some shout outs. We highlight some people, some topics, some events that really shape this year's history, our lifelong history, you know, so we want to make sure we have a nice little elaborate conversation that includes all of y'all. Make sure you follow on the Chop Up Show on Instagram. Make sure that that's a thing that you're doing so that you can stay plugged in to a lot of the nominees, to a lot of the topic areas, to a lot of topic areas, the categories is what I want to say. And so that you can be plugged into how these awards is coming together. Basically, though, long story short, next Monday night, same time, same station, same place. We're going to shout out some Black History Month awards for 2021. We did it last year, so this is not new business to us. We're going to run it back this year, do it even more creative. So make sure y'all tapped in and y'all know what's going on.
Right. Make sure we need some nominees. Shout out to Noelle. She's already sent us a couple businesses, you know what I'm saying, sent us a couple nominees. So if y'all got some Black people that just want to be highlighted, right, because the way that we come up with the actual awards themselves, the groups, the categories, feel me? We put them together how we put them together. You feel me? Y'all just send us people that deserve to be mentioned, that y'all care about, that y'all want to put on the platform, and we gonna do our thing for y'all. The Black History Month Awards next week. Y'all stay tuned on that IG. We're gonna have all that pub going on. Let's get into it.
Hey, so it's a snapshot. Real quick tonight, I have a question to ask these two gentlemen I'm here with, as well as the wonderful people we have in the comments. You know, as parents, you know, or potential future parents, or even people who are in the lives of young children, we have to ask ourselves when the right time is for the talk. Now, could be talking about a lot of different things. Don't make any assumptions, because the talk that I want to ask you all about tonight is about when and how do you, as Black parents, or let's be honest, just parents of children in this country, start the conversation about slavery, right? Mm. What we know about slavery, and this is, I want to frame it for you, it's Black History Month, let's talk about it, and let's start at the epicenter of Black history for, you know, this country. Slavery is a huge part of that. It was very formative. We know that to be, you know, the concept we call it is modernity. Right. It has really started to shape everything we knew about civil society, everything we know about why government is, why police is, why economy is, was shaped by slavery. Right. And yeah. So it's an important component of reality of life for Black children in particular. It starts to explain a huge part of their trajectory from childhood on. But it could be a sticky subject. Right. It could be kind of heavy. So I don't know how, if y'all have started to think about it as parents of young Black children, But when, let's start off with the first question, even before we talk about what you're going to tell them about it. When do you think you want to introduce the concept of slavery to children?
Man, my daughter 4 years old, and actually me and my wife had to deal with a little debacle today where my wife did my daughter's hair, and my daughter had her little Elsa princess shit on, and my daughter's like, I want my hair like Elsa's. And me and my wife like, you don't have hair like Elsa, baby. So we're kind of going back and forth, you know what I'm saying, about, you know, essentially European standards of beauty and how she correlates being royal and being a princess and being Elsa to having a European hair. So, you know what I'm saying? My wife is, you know what I'm saying, black, biracial. I'm all the, I guess I'm full black. You know what I'm saying? I guess I don't know how.
I'm all the way black, whatever.
But we both all the way black, but we have different textures and different ways of positioning blackness. That's how I would put that. You know what I'm saying? And we understand that she kind of already thinks very poorly about the hair texture that she has. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And shit, we know that come from slavery one way or another, but it's hard to tell that to a 4-year-old. You know what I'm saying? So right now, it's just been trying to use like positive reinforcement of what I learned in school as being a positive discipline in terms of trying to reinforce something that's good. You feel me? But it's a conversation that me and my wife had to think about, like, damn.
Okay.
And we definitely felt some type of way about it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a conversation that I don't even know how to answer your question, being real. And I got a 4-year-old.
Well, it's interesting because what it sounds like from you is that, you know, because I asked when you want to start the conversation, but you have basically said that the conversation has come to you in one way or another where you felt like you had to go and make a loop to go acknowledge it. You know what I'm saying? Which is a difficult point because, you know, there are some children.
I didn't acknowledge it, but it was like, baby, you have beautiful hair. Your hair is beautiful.
And I mean, I do want to be clear that I'm making a distinction between things like race, like just things that racialize your children, like, because that's one thing.
I'm but talking slavery, about like capital
organizing phenomena for our lives. Because, like, think about it, right? And when I think about it as a future parent, and then Dom, I'm gonna turn it over to you. I'm thinking about it from the concept.
I'm new in the game,
like, huh?
I said I'm new in the game.
New in the game, but time moves quickly, right? He already looked different than he started, than he came on the scene looking. So, but I say all this to say, like, I'm thinking about even how you socialize kids, right? How you teach kids in one breath to share. You teach kids that they should be kind and nice to everybody. You teach kids that you should go in and be a person of character who loves on everybody. But there's a complicated part in that journey where you end up having to share harsh truths with your kids, like, yeah, then white kids don't share right. Or, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just, or the way that they look at what it means to be together or be a group is different. And so do you, I guess my question is, do you let those things come to you or do you say, listen, let me tell you why these little kids act the way they act. There's something called slavery you need to know about and whatever. So I want to tell y'all my train of thought and how I'm thinking as I turn it over to Donald that can start to answer any of these thousands of questions that I started to ask.
Well, I mean, I kind of put my son in a position to where he going to have to learn about his history early because it's in his name. You know what I'm saying? Like, his name is Huey for a reason. And I always found it interesting because I did that knowing that it's going to be instances where people, like, just say, for example, you named your son after a cartoon character, bro? Like, you feel me? I'm going to have to judge some people. The way that I want to do it, the way that I plan to do it, and I've been having this conversation with my wife recently, is that I'm a homeschool my son. I'm gonna give him his history, his education. Because when I was editing our episodes from the Chop Up last week, I was listening to the conversation that we was having about opting out of white history. And what I was explaining then was that opting out of white history is just us controlling the narrative of our history, mm-hmm. where it begins, how we got to where we are today. And in order for my son to understand racism, he has to understand the foundation of it, which is chattel slavery. Right. And so as a parent who's going to be teaching, you know, who kind of decided I'm going to be teaching my son history, it's going to be a crucial part of his understanding of America. Yep. And so the earliest ages in which, you know, he starts to kind of understand and be able to take in information, I'm going to start teaching him about himself. And the conversation of slavery is going to come after we established, you know, he established his love for himself as a black, as a young black boy, as a potential black man, for having a black mama and a black daddy and black cousins. Like, he, once he has that appreciation and that love and can reflect that and can see that and can show that, and you know what I'm saying, and can speak that to me as I recognize, then, like, okay, now the second half of that is understanding why that love for yourself is so important. Yeah. And that's when we kind of going to get into that. So I'm factoring that into me educating my son on my own already.
Right.
Now the homeschooling conversation, that's a whole nother conversation. Cause I just came to that conclusion. I'm like, I'm not giving you to the world. I was just holding them. And I'm like, I'm not about to just give you to the world, nigga. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, it ain't going to work like that. So, for me, it's going to be something that I calculate into his learning and his understanding of self and who we are as black people, where he come from, that type of shit. Cause he's had his mother's East African. So he's going to have an understanding of the cultural heritage on his mother's side, but then also what his father's ancestors had to go through. So it's going to be a robust and eclectic, education, but you know, I'm up for the challenge.
I want to jump in these comments just to highlight some things. George said four. A lot of people saying, I've seen a couple people say four. Seen six. I've already talked to my boys about it. They're 8 to 10. Scott, who has an interesting perspective, just because I think you're white. I know you are white bodied. You're a white body person. So as a white body person, Scott has said the moment you start American history for us as a white family. So yeah, you know what I'm saying? Which is important, you know, just from the perspective of white people. And that's why I said not just black families, but when do you start having to talk with your white kids about the way that slavery has organized, impacted, and influenced the way that they live their lives, right? And the way that they are being taught when they go to school outside of your household to start to socialize and deal with certain people, right? Like, are you bold enough to tell your kids, you know, the whole reason why you tend to sit with them and not sit with them started way back in slavery, right? And really doing that, the connecting those dots, that's important.
I got more in detail. My daughter and son get more inquisitive and they bring it to me. But right now, you know what I know about parenting? Shit, my kids give me enough curveballs throughout the day to deal with. It's like, I'm not gonna just give myself a goddamn curveball to be explaining. I'm gonna wait till they bring it to me.
That's what Cher Pearl said. You should have a conversation when the topic is brought up to be conversed. And it's kind of put with a question mark, like maybe. But kids are curious and have a lot of questions about the world and they're going to ask them. So, you know, I'm not a parent. I don't know what thousands of things kids can bring you to possibly talking about. I know I was probably a talkative. I wish my mom was on the night to attest to this. Probably had questions about everything, wanted to talk about everything. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, where it's at. Kalia said middle school, because that's kind of when history teachers start teaching about it. I want my kids to be prepared to challenge their teachers because teachers don't go into much detail about it. I don't disagree with that. I just feel like for kids to have the confidence to start challenging folk and do it with, you know, respect, you know, and do it with finesse and do it in a way that don't make the teacher be blowing up your phone or doesn't have the teacher blowing up your phone talking about, you know, whatever, but still point of order, correction, right? I think you might have to start a little bit earlier than that, because you have to build that confidence in your kids. They have to have the vocabulary to be like, no, actually my mama said, right? And then be able to kind of segue into some of those things. So I might, if that's going to be the case, to equip my kids to challenge folk, equip them a little bit earlier. And then let me see. A thorough beauty said spiritual, huh?
I was going to say Malcolm Williams had an interesting one. He grew up Haitian in Mississippi, so he had an unexpected crash course on slavery pretty early on. Yeah, that's like you said, that's how like what Ethereal Beauty was saying, the opportunity presents itself in most cases. Because what we haven't really spoke on is how understanding slavery and how that's created the current relationship with authority figures, like law enforcement, is actually a part of the survival strategies that we've deployed in our understanding of what it means to be black. So like having to learn that, it's always something like, well, shit, you're gonna learn it pretty quick.
Factual, want to recap a couple of things on that same note. Malcolm said, because he learned about it, or they learned about it so early, my teacher stayed blowing up my mama's phone. So clearly, you know, once you get the nerve, the audacity to challenge some of those positions, you know, you got to expect. And that's the thing. I plan on raising a child where I do expect phone calls. You know what I'm saying? I don't not expect those things to happen or to occur because of the ways we're trying to balance some of that, you know, that experience. I don't want to, and this is a whole separate conversation, so I won't stay here long. completely decry the public education system because I'm a product of it. And I know what can happen if, you know what I'm saying, you get a child in a situation and you plot and plan and you find and you are invested in knowing as much about your school district as possible, how you can put your child on a trajectory to be successful. And so I won't, I'm not against sending my child there, but I am absolutely pro being actively and intentionally invested in balancing and rounding out their education with so much more than what they're going to learn in the four walls of that school. We got a Canadian perspective from Godfrey. I grew up in Canada in a pretty white area. My parents are African, but they made sure to drill into me the history of colonization and chattel slavery. Seeing how different it was from school was scary. Taylor says, I didn't know about slavery until sixth grade. I wanted to make sure my daughter is educated long before I was. She has lots of questions, and she's only five right now, so it's very important that they're on the right track. And then I'll shout out one more comment real quick. From Vance, sometimes we don't get the luxury of waiting. My daughter was seven when she first experienced it from a girl from Iran whose parents told her she couldn't play with her anymore because she is Black. And I think that is definitely, you know, when we start talking about tearing into education, right, it has a ripple effect, right, because people are coming into this country having this perception of Black people, having this notion of Black people was completely devoid of our history, of our perspective, of our narrative. Oh, yeah. We got to start telling
who we actually are.
Playground. Yeah. Let me get you together real quick about who I am on this playground real fast. And that's largely reflective of what's up. Odie said, I had to explain slavery to my daughter this summer because she wanted to understand why police were being so mean to Black folks. And so, I mean, if you're raising a child that's at all, and you raising the child, not the TV and not the games and stuff like that, they should be coming to you with questions about what's happening around them in their society and community. Yeah. They should be curious about these types of things if you are raising your child and not letting devices and other stuff do that job. Last thing I'll say, and then I might close it out, because I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, in terms of just when you lay something so heavy on the child. Noelle says, talk to my kids about white privilege, pointed out and discuss how to use it for good and not for evil. My daughter was 8 and my son was 10. I wish I would have started a little bit sooner. So the talk, you know, we have to, you know, we've talked about the talk in terms of police brutality and, you know, parents telling their Black kids, particularly their Black sons, how to behave and to kind of, you know, engage and do what they're supposed to do with the police. But Black people have to have a whole lot of talks. Black women have to have the talk. There's a talk Black women have to have about how they can't walk around with their asses out. And they did. If you're a Black girl, you've had to talk as well. So just thinking about all the talks, all the conversations, and this is not unique to Black folks. You know, conversations are a part of maturation in life. But when we think about Black people uniquely, you know, and just people in general,
the context that is unique. History.
Everybody needs to make a plan and talk to their children about slavery sooner rather than later. Because it is the fabric of our lives. Get it? Cotton. No pun intended. You see the joke I did there was a pun. It was a big pun, but it was a pun. Anyway, I'm done.
That was a communications master's pun right there. You can keep that. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, man.
My sense of humor.
Me, my guys, we really lie. Lord, forgive me, pay my tithes. Please don't have me reach inside in the center console. Keep the semi when I ride. Let off Henny when I drive. In the city, we gon' slide. Bet I be there pronto.